So good morning. This morning we have in our studio Dr. Quincy Gurirab, who is a pulmonologist. Dr. Quincy, welcome. We're very pleased to have you here. I think to start off with, can you please tell us what is a pulmonologist?
Thank you very much for having me, Colleen. Yes, I think that's probably the most important question to start off with. What is a pulmonologist? So a pulmonologist is essentially a specialist physician who has additional knowledge in the field of pulmonology, which refers to the lungs. So that would include diseases, infections, such as tuberculosis, acute and chronic lung infections, things that we call interstitial lung diseases, things that we call airway diseases like asthma and COPD, or like people call it emphysema. It also includes conditions of the right heart, as we like to describe it, which is something that's called pulmonary hypertension, as well as other chronic conditions related to the lungs. So you could, for example, have rheumatoid arthritis, which can affect your lungs, and then you'd get the pulmonologist involved. You could, for example, have had chemotherapeutic treatment that could have affected your lungs, and then you'll get a pulmonologist involved. So in short, that's what a pulmonologist does.
Okay, great. Hope I'm that sure helps. That many people did not actually even realize that there were so many things which could be going wrong with your lungs to have a doctor who specifically specializes in that. So Dr. Quincy, today, this morning, we're going to be talking about the airway diseases that you mentioned. So asthma and COPD or emphysema. Some people know about asthma because it's, or they think they know about asthma because it's quite common. But what can you give us a rundown on the presentation of asthma, the treatment, and then as well as any preventative measures which may be available?
It'll be my pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity. So to start off with, I think we need to define asthma and COPD, because what often happens is there's an overlapping understanding of what these two conditions are. So number one, let's talk about asthma. So asthma is in general accepted as an inflammatory conditions of the airways that can sometimes be triggered by a known allergen, or it could be triggered by an unknown allergen, or sometimes it could be triggered by something like cold air. It could be genetic, or it could be something that you acquire during your lifetime. Asthma is what we call a reversible airways disease, which is different from emphysema and COPD, where the obstruction in the ability of your lungs to move air is irreversible and cannot be fixed. However, it can be treated, and it can, you can sometimes stop the progression. So just in short, asthma is a treatable and a reversible condition that involves the airway, which we typically treat with inhalers. COPD is an irreversible condition of the airways, which we treat with inhalers as well. But the progress can be progressed with can be arrested with certain measures.
Okay. So sometimes people take asthma maybe a little bit lightly, I would say, and they don't really pay enough attention where it's necessary, because an asthma attack is actually something which could kill somebody.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So in short, I think asthma should be considered probably as one of the silent killers, especially in Southern Africa. Our death rates from asthma compared to Northern European countries as well as the North Americas is quite substantially high. And one of the reasons for that is lack of education about asthma. And then secondly is a lapse between what we consider controlled asthma and what is uncontrolled asthma. There's unfortunately a large amount of patients who have asthma, either knowingly or unknowingly, who are on suboptimal treatment that end up in emergency rooms with a severe asthma attack, and they end up in the ICU and subsequently demise from it, where if they had been on the adequate treatment prior, then the asthma attack might not have been as severe.
Yes. So it's really important then for somebody who either has asthma or suspects they might have asthma to have a proper evaluation of their condition as well as the treatment regime.
Absolutely. I think that's a very, very important point, is that anybody who's listening today who has ever thought to themselves, could I potentially have asthma, should probably go to their GP, have a good checkup to see if they meet the criteria for an initial workup, which is in essence, in order to make the diagnosis of asthma, you need what we call a spirometry or a lung function test. And should their GP suspect that they have some of the features or the symptoms, then they should be referred to a pulmonologist, preferably for evaluation for asthma.
Okay. Yeah. And then, Doc, what would you say should people be watching out for if they were suspecting they might have asthma but they were not sure, or if their child, they thought their child might have asthma but they weren't sure?
Excellent question. Thanks, Colleen. So I think one of the most important things is what we call the four symptoms that we typically get with asthma: a chronic cough that's persistent and varies over time. Cough goes away every now and then comes back without any obvious reasons. When there's a trigger for that asthma, so they'll tell you, when I go to a dusty area, when I go into a cold or into a warm environment, or when I smell a perfume, or, you know, there's often triggers the patient can tell you, when I've been to a people's house where there's a dog or a cat, that being their trigger. If they have that scenario, after that they'll develop a cough, they could have a wheeze, they could have a little bit of shortness of breath, they could sometimes have a tight chest, they could maybe explain that they have a feeling of pressure on their chest, or even as bad as having a severe asthma attack could make you think that if it's happened once, it could happen again, and I might actually have asthma.
Okay. And then, Doc, in terms of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, what we call COPD, or what's commonly known as emphysema, how does that present?
So, where asthma is different from COPD, or actually the reverse of that, where COPD is different from asthma, is that COPD usually presents in older individuals who have had certain exposures to noxious agent that could potentially have damaged. So it's either smoking, which is by far the most common reason for emphysema. Mm-hmm. So that could be hubbly, that could be cigarette smoking, that could be cigar smoking, it could be pipe smoking, any form of smoking, even vaping can predispose you to developing COPD if used for a prolonged period. The longer you smoke, the more likely you are of developing it. But then you can also have an occupational exposure. So often patients who work in industrial environments where there's a lot of dust, there's a lot of smoke in the air generated by, the industrial activity. Secondhand smoking, we always forget, that's still a big cause of COPD in the long run. And then there are certain patients that are just more susceptible to developing COPD. Those patients might have underlying genetic predispositions. In other words, they have a certain genetic code that at the end of the day develops into a deficiency of one of your protective enzymes in your lungs, which if you smoke for 10 years compared to your colleague who's been smoking for 30 years, you might develop emphysema. Or you might have symptoms much earlier before they develop. Okay. So those are the main differences when it comes to asthma and COPD. And as I mentioned previously, the fact that emphysema and COPD is a non-reversible condition, whereas asthma, if you pick it up early, it's definitely treatable and reversible.
Okay. So it's a little bit scary to think about COPD or emphysema, but there are treatments available which you said could help to maybe arrest the development, to make it slow down, so to speak, and to improve your symptoms. Can you talk us through that?
Yes. Let's start off with the basics of asthma. So essentially, asthma treatment has various levels or stages that we go through. As your patient starts on initial treatment, they might have improvement in symptoms or they might not. So one of the initial treatments is an inhaler. Mm-hmm. The most important component of your inhaler is something that's called an ICS, or an inhaled corticosteroid. This is an anti-inflammatory medication that essentially tells your immune system to calm down and stopped reacting to whatever the stimulant might be. Now, as I mentioned initially, the stimulant could be anything. It differs from one person to the next. But this is a general way of telling the linings of your lungs that they should not react to the stimulus in the way that they are.
Okay.
The second component is something that we call a bronchodilator. So a bronchodilator is a medication that works on the smooth muscle that you find in your airways. And it makes it relax and doesn't make it constrict so that you don't have what we call, everybody knows as, my chest is tight or I have bronchospasm.
Closed, yeah.
Yeah. Then there are other medications for those patients who are not controlled on the initial therapies. They would include oral medication. Mm. They might include nasal sprays. Often there's a link between asthma and patients with allergic symptoms such as rhinitis, ear problems, as well as eye allergy problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if you control the one mucosal surface, it has beneficial effects for the next mucosal surface. As you know, the mucosa of the lungs and the airways, as well as the nose and the ears, are continuous.
It's all connected, yes.
Correct. Yeah. For COPD, it's a little bit different in the sense that the inhaled corticosteroid is not the most essential component. The long-acting bronchodilator is actually the mainstay of treatment in conjunction with other medications such as long-acting antimuscarinics.
Mm-hmm.
But in some patients, they might benefit from an inhaled corticosteroid as well.
Okay.
All right? And we get various types. And the reason we have various types is because some of the medication, just as you would with an antihypertensive, mm-hmm. might not accommodate with one patient,
yes.
so another medication might accommodate better. So we tend to have various options, and your patient can figure out which one works best with them. There are also other oral options for patients with emphysema or COPD. The idea with COPD, as opposed to asthma, is that the earlier you recognize the symptoms of COPD and you start your treatment, the better you will prevent progression of the disease and end up oxygen dependent
okay.
in your future.
Okay, so that is usually the end point, is it then, for patients with emphysema or COPD, is that they're required to be on oxygen pretty much all day?
Correct.
And at night?
Yeah. Unfortunately, if the exposure is not stopped, of which smoking is the most important one, the eventual outcome could potentially be death from a complication related to the severe lung disease, or that the patient develops chronic hypoxia. In other words, their lung is now too flimsy and sick to absorb oxygen, and then they require higher concentration of breathable oxygen via a nose piece with a bottle or a concentrator that they need to take with them everywhere they go.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a call and a shout out again to the smokers.
Absolutely.
To really, really think about, is this really, really what you want to be doing?
Yeah. I would advise anybody who's currently a smoker or is thinking about stop smoking that they should consider stopping immediately.
Mm-hmm.
The long-term consequences are just too dire and too severe.
Yes.
And I would not want that for anyone.
Yes, yes, indeed. And so we hear that it's then actually quite vital that a person who has a lung condition be assessed by a pulmonologist for the optimization of their treatment and prevention of longer-term poor outcomes.
Absolutely.
Okay, super. Thank you so much, and we will chat again.
Thank you very much.